You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
If you listen to me, you know that I am like uber careful, probably, you know, more careful than the average bear. And that's okay. I mean, to each their own. Hopefully everybody out there is being as safe as, you know, as possible. So anyway, I was taking a spin class, and the instructor, Eddie, who I absolutely love and adore, he said, man, we've hit the middle of winter. And I was just the first thing, you know, and by the way, Ty is producing the show. He's rolling solo back at the studio today. So Ty, welcome in. So Ty, you could only imagine the first thing that came into my mind the minute that my instructor, Eddie, said, we've hit the middle of winter.
Uh-oh.
Come on. You know me. You know me so well. You have to know the first thing that came to my mind.
We've hit the middle of winter. There's a lot of pressure, Anita. Does this have to do with football? Is it football related?
No.
Oh, a lot of pressure.
Of course, the first thing I think about is, okay, let me count the days till I'm back on the golf course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to say that it means we're closer and closer to the conclusion of the football season, which I know is your bread and butter.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of sad to me.
Exactly.
It's an oxymoron right now. I don't know if maybe that's the right word. It's a double-edged sword. It's bittersweet. It's like I'm really excited for this weekend. And we're going to dive into a lot of talk and a lot of analysis in regards to the two games that we're going to see tomorrow. I'll give you my winners. Of course, you know me. I'm going to give you some bets and hopefully help you win some money. But at the same time, it's kind of like, oh, man, then we've got a week off. There's no football next week, right? Because that's the week that typically, and what a weird, you know, I've been to, I don't know, 16, 18 Super Bowls. Like, it's kind of crazy that, you know, not a lot of media, if any, are going to be allowed to be there. And it's going to be a much different combine as well. I'm going to get to our guest on the show. And we've got an agent, David Cantor, who's going to join us on the show because of the NFL combine news. And I think that the draft is probably more important this season than ever, especially when it comes to Jets fans. So excited about that. But, you know, it's I'm excited on one end for this weekend, but at the same time, it's this realization that the season is dwindling down and it's coming to an end. And then once it does, it's really a horrible 3 months. Let's be honest. Let me take that back. I wouldn't call it horrible. I love March Madness. March Madness is, as of right now, it's on. There's going to be a bubble in Indy, so that's good. We didn't have it last year, so we're jonesing for that. Obviously, much more attention to what's going on with the NBA, and you want to hope that the Nets and their big three are going to start gelling and start winning some basketball games here in the New York area. Baseball will be here before we know it. You know, there are other things to look forward to, but you know me. I mean, football is king. My life changes immensely. You know, the 6 months that we are in football season, and of course, then the 6 months that we are not. Although the time that we are not in you know, football mode where games are happening, we've got free agency, we've got the combine, we've got the draft, we've got a lot going on, and so there's still a lot of news to be reported, but nonetheless, that's kind of where I've got mixed emotions today. Not that I need a hug, Ty. Not that I need a hug with a mask. Not that I need a hug.
But I've got some mask.
A hug with a mask. But I do have some mixed emotions. Oh, I do have some good news, by the way, before we really dive into the show. I got Mama Mimi vaccinated this week. Let me tell you what a bear that was. For days, my mom was calling me, crying. My mom's down in Florida. If you listen to the show, Mama Mimi, you know, she's a staple on the show. We have her on quite often. I love her to death. She's fantastic. She's a hoot. And she was crying to me on the phone. She does, you know, here's what the problem is. You've got a lot of 80-year-olds who aren't comfortable on the computer. And if you don't know how to work a computer, you're not getting an appointment to get a vaccine. Unless you're sitting on the phone and it's just, it's a mess. It's a complete mess. So the other night, I reached out to a few friends down in Florida, and I got notice of a website, Jackson Memorial South Hospital. Their website opened up at 8 o'clock at night and 8 a.m. And I sat there for like an hour and a half, refresh. And I finally got in, and I got an appointment for her, and she got vaccinated this week. So I can't even tell you how thrilled I am. Her second vaccine, she got the Pfizer vaccine. Her second vaccination is going to happen on February 10th. So I can't even begin to tell you. I'm over the moon with that. So God bless. And I hope everybody out there is being safe. And just a quick note, again, before we start really diving into a lot of sports talk today, and that is if you know somebody who's older, who's elderly, and you could reach out a hand and help them try to get an appointment for a vaccine. Because besides the fact that there's a shortage, obviously, and hopefully that'll change soon. But really, it's a bigger obstacle here for those that are beyond 65, who's eligible to get the vaccine right now is the inability to do it. So reach out a hand. If you know somebody who's elderly, maybe reach out to them, text them, call them, whatever, and ask them if they need some help online, on the internet, to try to arrange an appointment for them. I think that would go a long way. Okay. All right. Let's talk about some sports. Let's break down the show for you. Really excited about it. We've got, as always, Cynthia Freeland and Bill Barnwell are going to join us on the show, give us their picks, their analysis heading into tomorrow. We've got the two big games with the Green Bay Packers going up against the Bucks, and of course the Bills and Kansas City. Bill Barnwell also, I texted him this morning, he also wants to dive into the Deshaun Watson talk and where he could possibly go. He said he just does not see it happening with the Jets, which was, listen, all the draft stock that the Jets have, and you know, why not? I asked him, I said, what are the three teams, the most likely landing places for Deshaun Watson, if, of course, the Texans agreed to make that deal? And he said Miami, Carolina, and the 49ers. Just FYI, but I'm really, really intrigued as to why Bill doesn't feel the Jets are a viable landing spot for Deshaun Watson. So we'll dive into that. David Cantor, one of the best NFL agents out there. He's been on our show before. He's going to jump on board. No NFL combine like we know it this year. Nobody's going to Indy. All these college players are going to be, their workouts are going to be their own pro days. So teams are going to have to share information. There's a lot of information out there that that David Cantor, I'm going to tee up for David Cantor, and he's going to give us because, again, as I said, I don't feel that there's been a more important year for an organization like the Jets with as much draft stock that they have compiled, that Joe Douglas has compiled, and where they could possibly head. And I think Jets fans need to be so in the know heading into this draft. So I'm excited to have David Cantor on, that's for sure. And and Brittany Giroli is going to join us on the show as well. This is my first chance to comment and talk about Jared Porter and what happened with the Mets and their general manager. And Brittany is a friend of mine. We crossed paths when I was in Baltimore. She was covering the Orioles, and I was leaving Baltimore to come here to New York. She was just starting with covering the Orioles, and she has an excellent article out on The Athletic. Listen, you know, every woman in this industry who's been in this industry, I'm just going to throw out 3 to 5 years, has a Jared Porter story. Don't doubt that for a second. I will repeat that. Every female in the media industry, if they've been in it for anywhere between, let's say, 3 to 5 years, has a Jared Porter story. It's just more than likely hasn't been told yet for a number of reasons. You know, scared that that their career in the industry will be derailed, frightened that a network or an organization won't hire them, terrified that their accusations will not be believed for a number of reasons. And so Brittany wrote an excellent article about her experience with the Orioles and her Jared Porter story. And so I thought it would be good to have her on the show. And considering that I am a female in the industry who has several So, I can't even, I should write a book one day when I'm out of this business. But I have several Jared Porter stories.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Mina Kimes, her and Jeff Passan were the ones who broke the story for ESPN. Got criticized for sitting on it by another radio station. Ridiculous. Listen, to each their own, you know, in due time. You know, there's a lot of women out there who've got stories that they're still terrified to share. So, anyway, let's not go there. 800-919-3776. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to Tyler in Jersey. Tyler, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for, I just want to say, first of all, I'm so happy that you got your mom vaccinated. That's great. And, I think it's great you're taking time to talk about this. You know, on a weekend where there's conference championship games and stuff, I think you do a really good job at, you know, talking about things that are just bigger than sports. So I was a Division I athlete in college, and I have older sisters, and I've seen, you know, loved ones that I care about, you know, who are women, experience, you know, workplace harassment and even, you know, sexual assault, unfortunately, which is just horrible. And I've also been in the locker room in male-dominated spaces, and I've been around, you know, things that get said in private like that. And so I've really seen this issue from, you know, as much as a man can, you know, from both sides. And I just am so disturbed, not only by, you know, what Jared Porter did, but also the people who just continue to make excuses for him even after the fact, you know. And I think that's something where, you know, I want to call all the other men out and just say, you know, if this many women have Jared Porter stories, then just as many men know a Jared Porter. So stop making excuses for your friend that's Jared, that could be Jared Porter. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold these guys accountable. And that was all I really wanted to say. But thanks for taking the call.
Tyler, thank you. Appreciate it. I don't know. I don't understand how a man could defend Jared Porter. I don't understand that. How that's even possible. How do you defend a man who sent, what was it, Ty, 62 unwanted?
66. And unanswered.
66?
Unanswered text messages.
Unanswered text messages, as well as sending a picture of his whatever. Which by the way, and I know this has been stated this week, like, unless we ask for it, don't send it. Don't send it. Like, no. Not the thing to send. Like, you know what? You know what? You send a. Say, you really want to impress a woman? Send like a cute picture of your dog. That'll go. That'll go 100 times further. let's go to. I know, right, Boo Boo? All right, let's go to Jim in Madison. Jim, you're up.
Hey, Anita. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Just like the last caller, I want to say that I really appreciate your stance on this, and it's about time, and it's important to be said on the air, so I really appreciate you saying all that. Having said that, as a diehard Giants fan, I'm wondering who do I root for in the NFC Championship? I hate Aaron Rodgers because I had an ex that was a Packers fan. And I hate Tom Brady because obviously he's Tom Brady, and they, you know, although the Giants have beat him twice, I don't know who to root for. So who should I root for in this NFC Championship game?
That's interesting, Jim. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for your kind words. I appreciate your call. Yeah, listen, root for the team that's going to win you money. That's what you need to do. And we're going to second hour. Freeland is going to join me. Third hour, Bill Barnwell is going to join me, and I will share with you. I've got a plethora. I love that word. I have a plethora of plays this weekend to make your viewing experience that much more enjoyable, and hopefully they all are very fruitful. So that's what I say. Listen. If you don't have a dog in this fight, leave your heart at the door. And just, you know, root for the team and the players via the prop bets that can help you win some money. That's what I would do.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Takes me back. Ashanti.
Now, did you know that this past Thursday night, Ashanti was involved in a versus battle on Instagram and Apple Music
with the,
with the one and only Keisha Cole? So I've been playing Ashanti and Keisha Cole today.
Really?
Yeah, 20 songs.
Who won?
Well, it was very close, but in my mind, Ashanti won. I just think she has more hits than Keisha Cole. But it was fun. They were 90 minutes late, by the way. This event was supposed to start at 8 o'clock sharp.
Well, that's what happens.
Ashanti's there at 8:45. Keisha Cole doesn't get there until 9:30. That's not supposed to happen.
Try going to a Madonna concert. Madonna concert's supposed to start at 11 p.m. It doesn't start till 1 a.m.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Madonna.
Here's
the thing. That's at a venue. That's at a spot that she has to travel to. These women are performing in their living rooms.
Madonna's been there since 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, but this, I mean, it was fun. It was very entertaining. Keisha Cole had a little bit of an attitude that night, which no one understands why, but it was fun. It was fun.
Ty is producing the show today, 800-919-3776. We're going to get to your calls. I am anxiously waiting. Just FYI, we're going to have Cynthia Freeland on in about 10 minutes. She's going to kick off hour two with us. No Antonio Brown this week for the Tampa Bay Bucks, so I'm anxiously waiting for Scotty Miller prop bets to come out because I am all over those. So every like 5 minutes, I'm online, the degenerate in me, which, by the way, again, please gamble responsibly, 1-800-GAMBLER. So they are not out yet, and I don't know why. I'm a little frustrated. Anyway, with that being said, Ty, we did this last week. It was fun. You've got some, like, NFL quick hitters for me?
Let's do it. Let's do it. So the game's tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Bucks at Packers at 6:40, mm-hmm. Bills at Chiefs. So of the quarterbacks involved, you got Brady, Rodgers, Allen, and Mahomes. Which of the four has the most to gain if they win the Super Bowl?
I think for sure Josh Allen, you know, this is a guy that for the first 2 years when he was in the league, you know, question marks about his talent and his ability, and could he be the guy that would lead the Bills to a Super Bowl, and, you know, should the Bills move on, and will he ever amount to anything? And, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes has been there. He's done that. Same with Rodgers. Same with Tom Brady. I think their legacies, I think Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, their legacies are already set. Mahomes is still building his. And I do believe that at some point in time, Mahomes will win another Super Bowl, whether it's this year or years to come. I think more's on the line and more is riding right now on the legacy of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills more than anything else.
Imagine he goes through MVP Lamar Jackson, MVP Patrick Mahomes, and either the greatest quarterback ever in Brady or a top five quarterback ever in Aaron Rodgers. That's some resume to get your first Super Bowl victory. All right, Anita, the team you trust the least in the Super Bowl if they did advance past tomorrow.
Tampa Bay Bucks.
Brady hater.
No, it's not. Do you know Brady's only completed 50% of his passes this postseason?
I mean, he's 2-0.
It's not about. It's not
must
about.
Must be doing something, right? He's 2-0. Yeah, you got me defending. Yeah, because Tom the defense. Brady, Anita. Oh my lord!
Because of the defense.
That me. And I wrote this.
I wrote this in my article on Chalk on ESPN. Talk about stepping in poop, right? Like, close call against Washington. And oh, by the way, their third string quarterback who was playing with an injured shoulder and almost upset the Bucks in round one. And then goes up against Drew Brees.
67-year-old Drew Brees.
Who, by the way, you saw what happened, right? His wife came out on social media and reported that he was dealing with a shoulder injury, possibly a rotator cuff injury that the Saints did not report.
Yeah, 12 broken ribs just 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, but okay, granted.
So I'm saying
no one mentioned the shoulder issue, which, by the way, this is a conversation I want to have. I'm going to have with Cynthia Freeland. This is the first thing I'm going to tee up for her, and that is the NFL. Should the government, because now more and more states are legalizing gambling, should the government contract an outside agency to police and monitor NFL injuries? I think they should. But that's neither here nor there. But Drew Brees goes out and throws three interceptions, and Jared Cook fumbles the football. Four turnovers, please. When is the last time that's happened with the Saints? And then in week six, last time these two teams played each other, Aaron Rodgers had two interceptions, one a pick six, the other one a pick, and the defender was tackled on the 2-yard line. Like, that's going to happen again this week?
Yeah, he threw five picks all season. Two of them came on successive drives against the Bucs.
So just at some point in time, the football gods are going to say, not today.
Enough of
and
that.
And I think that's going to be tomorrow.
All right, a couple more quick hitters, Anita. Quick hitters. Which offense has the best performance this weekend?
Bills, hands down. I think they crush it.
Which defense has the best performance?
Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
Green Bay Packers. Green Bay. How about this? Green Bay. People might not be aware of this. Green Bay Packers are only allowing 16 points a game the last 4 weeks. Last four games, 16 points per game to their opponent.
Not bad. Trying to remember, Bears, Rams, I believe the Lions is in there, or the Lions are in there. But, okay, I will ask you this, even though I know the answer to your question. Which underdog do you feel the best about?
Oh, Bills.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
Now, is this because Mahomes is going to be physically compromised, or regardless, if healthy, you'd still feel pretty good about the Bills?
Kansas City Chiefs, 32nd team defense in the red zone.
Not good.
Can you marinate in that for a minute? I will repeat that. The Kansas City Chiefs defense, and this is hard for me to say because Steve Spagnuolo is their defensive coordinator, and I love Spags. Developed a very, very good relationship with Spags when he was here in New York as the defensive coordinator of the Giants. Love that man. He's fantastic. So it's very hard for me to say. And David Merritt, who is the DB coach for the Giants, as well as is on that team as a coach.
All right.
Kansas City Chiefs are 32nd in the NFL in red zone. I think the switch is going to be flipped here. I think this is going to be a game where Kansas City is trying to keep up pace with the Buffalo Bills, and they're not used to that. Kansas City is usually the team that is being hunted. They are rarely the hunter. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a problem.
All right. Last one for you, Anita, before we get to Cynthia Freeland. Mm-hmm. Which of the four head coaches involved do you feel has the most to gain with a Super Bowl? So you've got LaFleur, Arians, McDermott, and of course, Mr. Andy Reid.
How about this? I'm gonna flip the switch on you. I think Arians has the most to lose because people are looking at that Tampa Bay roster and going, "Are you kidding me? This Todd Bowles defense." You know, they get Vita Vey back this week. Tom Brady, that offense, all those offensive weapons. How do you lose, Bruce? How do you lose? So I think Bruce Arians. I think the more interesting question is who has more to lose.
Well,
I'd say Bruce Arians. Who has more to gain? I think Matt LaFleur, because there was a lot of question marks. Him taking over young. How were him and Aaron Rodgers going to gel? Would they gel? How would they create an offense together? It took them a hot second, but look what they're doing. I mean, they're making chicken salad out of chicken poop. Let's be honest. Besides Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, in all honesty, what is Rodgers working with?
Tanyan?
But who is Tanyan?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go to our phone lines. Let's kick it off with Artie. Artie, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. Can you hear me?
Hi. I can. Hi.
How are you? So listen, I mean, I went nuts on Jamal Adams when he wanted to leave. He wanted the money. And then Hopkins did the same thing. And here I had Harden wanting out. And I understand it's the way. You know, they want to win or whatever. Or they want to get paid and all that. But, I mean, and here I am as a Jet fan. And I'm being a hypocrite if I'm saying I want Watson. I want Watson. But he's not doing the right thing. He signed the contract. The reason why Hopkins isn't playing with the Cardinals is because of his contract. Because he wants more money. You know what I'm saying? And now he wants out. What's to say that he comes to the Jets, they stink it up for 3 years because they can't get the right players around him, and then he wants to go somewhere? You know what I'm saying? So why should
I think?
Jets fan?
But here's the thing, you know, all things that are reporting already in regard to Deshaun Watson is that apparently the organization promised him, you know, they would consult with him before they hired a general manager, that he would be that he would have a say, that he would have a voice in regard to the hiring process, with whether it be a general manager or a head coach. And unfortunately the organization did not do that, and so he's frustrated by that. Now let me preface by saying, I don't know if I'm an owner, if I'm giving a player that type of power. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong to give a player that type of power, but if an organization promised that to him, and then went out and hired a general manager without even consulting him while he was on vacation, that, you know, to me, that's very different than a disgruntled player. You know, that's very different than a Jamal Adams, let's say, right? Like, I'm not going to put Deshaun Watson in the Jamal Adams category. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. But I mean, other than that, I mean, the thing that's scaring me a lot is, like, and I want to get your opinion. Okay. I don't know if I'm putting Deshaun Watson in Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes category. I'm not doing that. I'm not even putting Deshaun Watson in Russell Wilson's category. I want to take your take. And you know something? If the Chargers and the Bengals had the same chance to get Watson, they wouldn't do it. So what's to say that the Jets can't get at Fields or Wilson, can't get the Herbert and the Burrow of the draft? That's what's scaring me.
And with all due, and Artie, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And with all due respect, if an organization has an opportunity to get Deshaun Watson, that is a don't even think about it for a minute. Get him. Hashtag run, don't walk. Thank you, Ty. I think Deshaun Watson, if the Texans were in any situation, any opportunity to be successful this season, to make it to the postseason, and have more wins than losses, Deshaun Watson would be in the MVP discussion this season. It's really unfortunate. The only reason that he is not in the MVP discussion this season is because, you know, they were just god-awful and couldn't win any games. And one thing that's probably more frustrating to me than anything else, when it comes to talking about, you know, the greatest of all time, or, you know, how great or how poorly a quarterback, this is a team sport. Quarterback doesn't play defense. So, you know, it's, you know, the Deshaun Watson can only do so much, and he has done a lot this season. Talk about, you know, a second ago, I was talking about the Green Bay Packers making chicken salad out of chicken poop. Talk about a quarterback alone, who's just been, you know, Deshaun Watson has a far worse situation than Aaron Rodgers, and the numbers and the stats and what he was able to do this season is remarkable. So you give me a sure thing with Deshaun Watson, you know what you're getting with Deshaun Watson. You know the type of offense you want to run with him. You know how you want to build it around him. You know for sure what you are getting with Deshaun Watson. Any quarterback outside of Trevor Lawrence, there's some huge question marks. You don't know. Sam Darnold's been here 3 years. We still don't know. And that's not his fault. That's the organization's fault. But if any team has an opportunity to get Deshaun Watson, I think that's a no-brainer. An absolute no-brainer.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Go to D in Queens. D, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, Anita. How you doing?
Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yeah,
what's
I'm
up?
Here.
Yeah, the Lamar Jackson, the Lamar Jackson fan club. Me and you. Only one.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah, this relates to what I'm about to say, though, because it ties into two things you brought up. One, the way women have been treated in some of these sports teams, and also gambling. I think these leagues need to be more regulated because they are workplaces, and there's workplace discrimination with hiring. okay? The fact that Josh McCown, whatever, was just even interviewed is disgusting. And the underreported, and everyone's hinting at it, but no one wants to talk about, like, what's going on with the Texans. How they're in court right now because, you know, the owner went around before he died firing all the black executives. And there was another issue with someone who was darker, who they fired. Talk about they're not a cultural fit. You think Deshaun Watson doesn't see that and sick of it? The other caller talked about his money. It's more to life than money. And these people can hire who they want. It's code for we get to be as bigoted and old boys club as we want. Enough is enough. You know, if Lamar Jackson acted like Baker Mayfield in college, he would have went undrafted or drafted in like the fourth round. Let's call it what it is.
You know, I hear you. And D, thanks for your phone call. I was texting with, I woke up this morning. I like to spend my mornings drinking my coffee in bed with my babies as I prepare for the show. And I was watching, of course, I put on SportsCenter and I watched SportsCenter in the morning. And, you know, they had this one segment in regard to the new coaches that had just been hired. You know, of course, you've got Nick, was it Sirianni, who comes over from the Colts as the offensive coordinator. Not a lot of experience in the NFL. He comes over. Now he's the head coach of the Eagles. Then you've got Staley, who comes over from a defensive coordinator from the Rams. And now he's the head coach of the Chargers. Dan Campbell, now the head coach of the Lions, his press conference was ridiculous. I don't know what we're going to bite off your kneecaps. I don't quite get. Regardless, how is Eric Bieniemy? How has he not been hired already? Now I get it. Like Kansas City is still in the postseason. Yada yada yada. But like, you've got a Texans team that's talking about hiring Josh McCown. Josh McCown. Can we marinate that for a minute? No coaching experience at all. None. Not a lick. Maybe high school. I want to say, what was he doing? This obviously, I think he was like high school or college coach, maybe high school coach somewhere, and was like kind of like, you know, had his phone on speed dial for, was it the Eagles? To come in if they needed him. How is Eric Bieniemy not, how does he not have a job already? I text Jim Trotter, who's been on the show before, and I'm just like, Jim, explain this to me. He's like, his text back to me was, I have no words.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Armando Salguero, down in Miami, he writes for the Miami Herald. And Ty, our producer, just sent this article to me. So I'm going to read it because I thought it was interesting. Bill said, you know, why would a player want to come to the job? I actually love the new head coach hire. Okay. Believe in Joe Douglas, a ton of draft stock, a ton of salary cap space. I think the Jets could be, you know, a great landing place for a player, let alone a quarterback. So this is an article out of the Miami Herald from Salguero today. By the way, this article posted today at 1:30 in the afternoon. Deshaun Watson has a pecking order of teams he'd like to play for. Dolphins aren't number one. Quarterback Deshaun Watson, unhappy with his situation with the Houston Texans, apparently has a ranking for which new teams he'd like to play. And yes, he really wants to move to the AFC East, but he prefers to play for, drumroll please, the New York Jets. And second, he'd like to play for the Miami Dolphins, in that order. Watson this week told People that the Jets are his top preference among the teams he'd like to be traded to because they hired Robert Saleh to be their coach. And Watson values him as much as he wanted him to be the Texans' new head coach, but didn't even get interviewed for their vacancy. Watson confirmed reports circulated for several weeks in national media. He'd also welcome playing for the Dolphins, but he said that they are his second choice at the time. Watson, did you know this, Ty, that he was in New York recently?
Yeah, I think he was shooting commercials or a rap video, one of the two. It was something he was shooting.
I didn't even
know
that.
Some video element.
I didn't even know that he rapped.
No, I don't think he's a rapper. I just, maybe he was in the video. I'm not sure. It was one of those two things.
But it's not clear if his time there had anything to do with football at all. Obviously, the Jets are headquartered in New Jersey, and the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, lives in New York. But it would be tampering for them to be speaking or meeting with Watson without permission. Saleh, who was the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers the past four seasons, is a favorite of many players around the league. Sherman, who played under Saleh with the 49ers, actually has advice for Watson on what he should do with his current situation in Houston. I'd get out of there as quickly as possible. I'd head to New York, Sherman said last week to Chris Collinsworth on his podcast. Both the Jets and the Dolphins currently have incumbent quarterbacks, but neither Sam Darnold in New York or Tua in Miami are proven stars or have performed anywhere close to what Watson has for the Texans. And I said that earlier in the show, didn't I? So Tua nonetheless was named the team's 2021 starter by general manager 2 weeks ago, but Darnold has gotten no such certainty in New York from Saleh. Saleh spoke well of Darnold at his press conference with the New York area reporters, but he stopped short of fully committing to Darnold as his starting quarterback. Watson has not officially requested a trade from the Texans, but his displeasure with the franchise over its direction in regard to hiring the head coach as well as the general manager is public knowledge, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, Armando Salguero, who I've known for over 20 years, who I have immense respect for and is tapped in better than most, who's covered the NFL for several years, is reporting that Deshaun Watson's number one landing place is the Jets. Jets, if that's the case, Jets need to work this out. Jets need to work this out. They need to get Deshaun Watson. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Anita? How are you?
Good afternoon.
Hey, listen, one thing about the hirings, and then I had a question for you. Now, with the hirings, we got Dan Campbell over there in Detroit. You know, he's like the Jameis Winston. He's eating W's, kneecaps, all these different things. It does look very scary what's taking place, but you wonder if there's any correlation between what's going on, you know, in the last 3 weeks in this country and these billionaire owners. Maybe they're doing a little pushback on these hirings. You know, I don't know. But with these games this week coming up, I agree with Cynthia and then the other gentleman that you had on Barnwell. I think Kansas City is going to win. But I do agree with Barnwell for some reason, and it really, you know, it makes me feel really bad. I have a feeling that the Bucs are going to win this game. And the question I have for you was, In football, has there ever been a championship weekend where three quarterbacks already has Super Bowl wins? I don't think we've ever seen that before.
I don't know. That's a good question. And thank you for your phone call, Buddha. I appreciate it. I don't have those statistics in front of me. Spring and Joe Wiz. You can hear him right here on 98.7 ESPN. He'll be on tomorrow at 6 a.m. Right, Joe?
Yes, set your alarm clock early. Tomorrow at 6 a.m. we'll be breaking down all the football and basketball games.
Fantastic. All right, let's dive into the two games tomorrow. And let's start with the first one, and that is Green Bay going up against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Green Bay now favored by 3.5. That half reared its ugly head as soon as the news broke that Antonio Brown was going to be out. How are you playing this one, Joe?
Well, we look at it 3.5. I even see some four starting to surface here. The total's at 52. Green Bay has been the most consistent team all year long, and I'm going to surprise you. I picked Green Bay at the beginning of the season, and I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. And I traditionally play underdogs, but in this game here, I'm taking Green Bay. I'm laying the 3. I'm buying a half point. I already did it at FanDuel. I bought the half point down, so I'm laying Green Bay. I'm taking the 3. I'm expecting Green Bay to not only win here, I'm expecting them to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh, look at you. Spicy.
There you go. Early predictions here. Late Christmas present for everybody out there.
Do you have an over-under in play in this game or no?
Well, when you look at it, I mean, if when you look at it here, Green Bay's averaging 33 points per game in this 7-game winning streak that they have. And, when you look at it here, Tampa is also scoring 36 points per game. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be that much of a factor. I know the line moved a half a point. I mean, Brady's got a ton of weapons, and, you know, he targeted Brown, but he really hasn't been that much of a factor in the games that he's played, even in Washington, you know. So I don't play into it too much. I do think it could be a high-scoring affair, though.
All right. Again, Joe is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's talk about game number two. That's the Bills going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Bills plus +3. You know what side I'm on. I love the Bills. I've got the Bills winning the Super Bowl. I got the Bills winning the Super Bowl. So you know which way I'm rolling, Joe.
It's 2021, Anita. Anything is possible. You look at the line, KC's minus -3. I'm glad Mahomes finally got cleared. Buffalo Bills are definitely going to put the ball in the air a lot. They really don't have no rushing attack. And Patrick Mahomes, like I said, the thing with them, Anita, if you're rooting for Buffalo, Mahomes is 24-1 in his last 25 starts, but 0-9 against the spread in the last 9 games, including last week against Cleveland. I did send you a late text early Sunday. You seen that line move. It was horrible. It was amazing. It went from 10 all the way down to 7.5 last Sunday. This game goes right down to the wire. I think it will be a high-scoring affair. I'm more inclined to play the Toldens game. Just don't know the status of Mahomes. You know, everyone's talking about his concussion, but it really wasn't a concussion. It was a nerve issue. He also has a foot problem as well. So I'm a little bit leery about, with the KC side. Buffalo looks like a live dog. They've been playing really well. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I'm going to go with Buffalo. I'm going to play the over in this game, over 54 between Buffalo and KC. That's my stronger play.
Yeah, I think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. I like that as well. Before we let you go, you've got the Nets going up against the Heat. KD is expected back tonight. Nets are favored by 7.5. Are you on that side?
No, I'm on the total in this game here. Anita, the total's 230, but don't worry about it. Just play the over. The Nets do not play any defense, and they all like to shoot the ball. KD's back in the lineup. But the Nets have gone over 11 straight games. This is prior to Harden getting there, even prior to Irving with his off-the-court problems. And Miami has gone over 5 of 7. I just think the total right now, it's hard to ignore the Nets going over 11 straight games. I think they're going to make it 12 in a row, and see what happens here. Play over the total, over 230, and in the Pegasus World Invitational, I'm looking for an upset. I'm going with Coastal Defense, number 2, a 15-1 shot.
Ooh, okay. Look at you.
I know you play the horses, Anita. Don't lie. You know, we know you're hammering those horses.
I do. I will tell you what I am playing. Conor McGregor knockout at plus +225 tonight. Thoughts? Any thoughts on UFC? You got to play on that or no?
Well, McGregor's a 3-1 favorite. He'll probably win, but I played over 2.5 rounds. To go over 2.5 is really what I'm looking for, and hoping Poirier can just keep dodging him until the third round.
He couldn't do it the first time around. What was it, 90 seconds, something like that?
You're right, and like I said, that was back 6 years ago, so let's hope he did a lot of training. They are friends, and let's hope they put on a good show and go over to 2.5. That's what I'm hoping for. Obviously, McGregor's heavily favored and most likely will win, but I'm not going to be laying that heavy juice under any circumstances.
Great stuff as always, Joe. Appreciate you. Make sure you tune in to Joe Wish's show tomorrow morning right here on 98.7 ESPN at 6 a.m., leading into my fantasy forecast at 7. Joe, thank you so much. Enjoy the games tomorrow.
Thank you.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.